But help us to understand better so that then we can tell others. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at this just a little bit. We're going to break this down and just by the different verses. So the power of God appoints, and he appoints all these different areas. This is God himself that does this. And it very personally involved. And first of all, he appoints life and breath for all people. If you are living, you are breathing, you have a heartbeat, it is because God literally has done that in you. I want you to know, you don't just exist because a man and a woman decided to come together and they decided to give you life. You exist because that man and woman came together and God gave you life and God sustains your life. God is the one who appoints your life. And so we need to live it as such that it is a gift from God. Amen? You see, these guys were meeting together. These were the philosophers. How many of you guys are fans of philosophy? Like, that's a big thing to you. You love philosophy. Raise your hand if you love philosophy. Whew! I got a lot of silence in here. The air just went out of the room whenever I got on that subject. I know, I'm kind of with you on that one, okay? But you know, whenever we read some of the different things about that philosophers have said, name off a couple philosophers that were famous. Aristotle, Plato, Socrates. Picard. I don't know anything about him, but I know those other guys because they kind of met in Greece, didn't they? So where's Picard from? Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, he is true, and he is for real, so it's definitely a double good thing, yeah. But I understand that's kind of a philosophy that's out there. Philosophies are some like basic outlines to life and why we exist and things that, you know, real big thoughts that are way up here and real lofty. Most of us are more concerned with just getting our work done and moving on to the next day and making sure our bills get paid and all that type of stuff, right? But here's the deal, guys. No matter which side of that equation we're on, we need to realize it's God who gives life. You know, this was such an amazing thing for him to stand up there and tell these Aristotle types that are like dealing with all these big, lofty thoughts, and they're almost trying to outdo each other with their next thought. And these were so lofty and high that it almost seemed higher than life, and he brought it right back down to the bare essentials. He said, you know why you live? You know why you breathe? Do you know why you can think? Because God himself has appointed you to be here this day. Wow, that's a pretty big thought. And I want us to remember, you know, that your brother and sister, your family member, whoever you guys are that we feel so comfortable with, you know why we're here? Because God is keeping breath in our lungs. He's the one who's keeping our heart beating. So offer it back to him as a praise offering. Okay? How about that really unsaved person that we don't understand why they do the things that they do? Maybe they're our neighbor. Maybe it's that person who got in a whole lot of trouble and they're in jail. Maybe it's that person that's doing a whole lot of bad things and they still haven't got caught. Who's keeping their heart beating? Who gave them the breath that's in their lungs? Okay, so God's still got a plan for them. So we need to realize all that's from God. And so we also need to realize it's not him who needs us, okay? It's us that needs him. Okay, because see, philosophy and a lot of philosophies are basically saying that God's just kind of a generalized thing out there because, you know, maybe somehow or another he just kind of needs us to give him praise in whatever way we can, so all the different religions are basically the same and all this stuff. But we know that's not true. Guys, God didn't make us because he needed us. God don't need anything. That's what I am means. Whenever he actually told Moses that his name was I am, it means it's self-existing one. Yahweh means the one who exists of his own authority. You see, God has always been, and he always was before we were ever created, and he always will be. Irregardless of what we think or what we decide about him, God's still going to be God. And he It's not that he just has to be or needs to be worshipped by our hands. We need to worship him. You see, it's us that needs him. And when we worship him, that puts us in the right place. That's whenever we finally find our right place for why we exist. If you read the whole book of Ecclesiastes, we've been going through that. We just started going through that on Wednesday nights. You get down to the last few verses. I always want to start at the end of that book because he finally boils it down. And he basically says, God don't need us, we need him. And that's basically what Paul is expressing to these men who are thinking about all these great grand thoughts. He's saying, God don't need you, you need him. And they didn't really want to think they needed anybody. But guys, that's where it starts. We need to realize we have a need. And it's God who created us. Number two, we find out something else that God appoints. God appoints, number two, times and boundaries for all. I got one amen. Praise the Lord. Do you know why you're here today in this community, in this church, in the United States of America? Do you know why the United States of America has boundaries and it exists as a country? Because God appointed it. You know all those other countries out there that have those little boundaries and they just look like lines on a map to us and we think, well, maybe God don't even care about those lines. God's the one who appointed those lines. He has a purpose for each little group of people that he puts together. And it's to serve him ultimately and to bring him glory, because whenever he's glorified, that's when we're in the best place we could ever be. But you see, the reason why those men were sitting there that day was because God had appointed it. And Paul was saying, not only has he appointed you to be here, he's appointed me to be here. And we're all here because God appointed it, because you need to hear what I've got to say. What an amazing thing. Do you know God is the one? He has made, it says, from one blood. How many races of people are there? Hold up one finger for me, please. One blood. It's the human race. No matter what your skin color is, no matter what your nationality is, no matter what your ethnicity is, no matter what your physical features may be, if you are a human being, you are a part of the human race, and there is one race. So where does all this prejudice come from? God's word literally says, and Paul understood it and repeated it back to him that day, there's no place for prejudice because we're all from one blood. Amen. Guys, we all go back to Adam and Eve. Every last one of us, every skin color variation that's out there in the world came from Adam and Eve. We are one people in this world, and we need to start acting a little more like it. Amen? And he's reminding them here, there's no place to be looking down on anybody. And you need to understand the reason why you're here is because God put you here. And he's got a purpose for the way that he's divided everything up. He's made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. This is an important thing for us to understand. I want you to know, boundaries are not immoral. Boundaries are actually appointed by God. He has a purpose for all of that. Do y'all remember back whenever he divided up the people? Can anybody tell me what kind of tower they were trying to make? The Tower of Babel, okay? And what? Why were they making the tower? Can anybody tell me? To build it up to heaven. Thank you, sir. That was the perfect answer. They wanted to become like God. They wanted to be God. They didn't want to have to get through God to heaven. They wanted to build a tower to get to heaven. They wanted to go around God to heaven. They wanted to compete with God. And you remember what he said? I'm going to have to confound their language. Because as long as they keep, you know, being able to understand each other, they are using it to rebel against me, and that's not my purpose. My purpose is for these people to find me, to glorify me, and so because of that, he confounded their language. Let's think about it. They sounded like Babel to one another, right? And it's a little different spelling, but it's the same, you know, this, it's interesting that it would happen there at that place. But here we've got, and he separated them so that then they wouldn't rebel against him in the same way. They wouldn't be able to join forces, so he made separations there. And it was also that they could help one another get to him, you see. So the time, now whenever the new church spawned, in the day of Pentecost, and they spoke in tongues, what was that all about? Okay, so he divided the languages at the Tower of Babel because of their rebellion. Now whenever he pours out his spirit, he helps them to understand each other's languages. He removed that barrier so that the gospel could be proclaimed. So he sets up the barriers to train us, and then he takes away the barriers whenever it's time to take the gospel. So whenever you get ready to serve God, I can tell you, he'll remove all the barriers. He did for Paul. You see, Paul was from a totally different part of the world, but he was right there. He had gone across all those barriers and boundaries and was there at the right time because God had appointed it. He appoints the times and boundaries for all. Number three, God appoints for people to seek Him. Two amens. God appoints for people to seek Him. All right, that's better. God desires for all people to seek Him. And if we look at this, He says in Acts 17, 27 to 28, so that they should seek the Lord. Why did He appoint the times and the boundaries? So that they should seek the Lord. You see, He made them because they were rebelling, and he desires and appoints them to seek Him in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each of us. How many of you guys can remember your salvation experience? If you're saved, you know, and I mean, you've had that experience. Can you remember that experience? Okay, now here's the way mine went down. I'm telling you, it was the darkest, deepest point in my life. I was feeling really distant from God. And then I cried out to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, He was there. And what I realized is He'd been there all the time. I just couldn't see Him. So what does groping give you a thought of? Blind man. All right. Daniel had a little experience with trying to walk in the dark the other night. He's got scars on the back of his arm. He's got a scar on his leg and everything else. There was a big old block of firewood there. And he groped along. Block of firewood's about this tall. Where's your arms? Yeah. Groping along and bam, it hurt. How many of you guys have ever had that experience where you're groping and you run into something? One night, I was groping for the bathroom. And I'm walking along, you know, and the door was open. Yeah, my hands didn't catch it. My wife, I think, didn't you do that one time too? Yeah. Made it look like I had beat her up. Wound up kind of blacking her eye. You know, here's the thing, guys. When we're groping around, we're not really sure what we're looking for. But like if there's somebody who knows the room better than you and they're standing in there and they hear you groping around, they go, hey, watch out for that door over there, or watch out for that block of firewood over there. You know, they can get you around the obstacle. Okay? That's the way it is for us as Christians. Everybody else is out there groping for God, and we've been there. We know what it feels like to be blind, but now I see. Guys, how dare us just sit around and laugh at other people while they're groping? Because sometimes I can see that happening. We can go, boy, did you see how crazy that thing was that person did over there? And we kind of laugh about it. All right? I'm not here to shame anybody because I've done it myself, but I'm saying, we are the ones who know what the room looks like. We need to tell them. We need to be the one to point them in the right direction. Take them by the hand if they're willing to lead them to the right place. Because you see, guys, they don't even know for sure what they're looking for sometimes. They just know they have a need. But we know what they need. We know who they need. They may not even like it when we first tell them, but guys, we're the only ones who know. And so God has appointed for people to seek Him, even though they're groping around. We realize He's just one prayer away. He's just their commitment away. He's already there with them, and they just don't realize it. For in Him we hope and move and have our being, as also some of the philosophers, the poets say, we are also His offspring. So He's saying, yes, you were created by God. So in that sense, you're offspring of God. But you're not really a child of God. until you're adopted into his family. And so basically that's what he's expressing here. And so he appoints that for everybody to seek him. He also, number four, appoints for everyone to repent. All right, the amens were a little slower on that one. Repent! What does repent mean? Turn! 180-degree turn. Like, if I realize that I'm heading in the complete opposite direction of where I want to end up, what do I need to do? I don't need to just turn to a little bit. I need to turn completely around and head back the other direction, right? So it's very important that we realize that the word repent is not just I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep going in the same direction. It's I'm sorry that I'm headed in the wrong direction, and I want to head in the right direction. And so we completely turn around. In fact, in 1730, he says, truly these times of ignorance got overlooked. Now, it's one thing just to be ignorant and be heading in the wrong direction. Have you ever been driving somewhere and realized you were heading in the wrong direction? I got one hand up over there. Yesterday he did it. All right. It happens, right? And whenever it happens, if we're just too proud and we say, well, I don't care if I'm heading in the wrong direction. I'm going to keep going in the direction. I am not going to admit that I'm wrong. You better not be mad when you end up at the wrong place, folks. You see, when we realize out of ignorance that we are going in the exact opposite direction of the way we need to be going to get where we want to be, there ain't no complaining if you end up in the wrong place because you're too proud to admit it. And I'm going to tell you, a whole lot of people are going to end up in hell someday, and they're going to be real mad about it. But if it's because your own pride, because you wouldn't admit and repent, there's not going to be any excuses. And you know, what he's saying is truly these times of ignorance got overlooked. God overlooks the ignorance. But he's not just going to overlook and continue to be patient whenever we willfully turn our back on him. You see, he shows us, and then we're commanded to do something about it. He says, but now commands all men. How many men? All men. That includes the women too. That means mankind. Okay? All men everywhere to repent. Can anybody be saved without knowing Jesus Christ? He's the only way. And Jesus has come, and Jesus has gone back to heaven, and Jesus has poured out his power and his spirit on his believers, and he's the only way, and we're the only ones that have the message. And so he commands everyone. And here's another one. Just kind of keep your finger there in the Bible and go to 1 Timothy 2:4, and we're going to read a quick verse there as well. 1 Timothy 2:4. We'll read verse 3 as well. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. How many men? Absolutely, all. He desires every last man to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we have to repent to do that. And so that's what he's showing us here. The times of ignorance he overlooks, now he's called us all to repent. Number 5, God appoints the day of judgment. We don't know when that day will be, but he does. The Father in heaven knows the very day, the very moment. And he even knows the one whom he's chosen. But let's look there at chapter 17, verse 31, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. Who is it that he's ordained? Jesus is ordained to be the judge. And we've got the day that is chosen. But here's the deal for us, guys. Sometimes we get so concerned about what day Jesus will come back that we fail to be concerned about the day that we'll go to be with him. You see, guys, whether we go to be with him or he comes to be with us, the deal's sealed at that point. The deal is sealed. Whenever he takes that borrowed breath away from you and you go to stand in his presence, wherever you are with Jesus at that point is where you're going to be in it for all of eternity. And then there'll just be a waiting period where you'll be in a place of suffering and holding until the day of the final judgment. But there's going to be a final judgment. But I can tell you, all of us face judgment on our last day on this earth. And so what I would suggest is, let's make sure we're ready. Amen? Make sure we're ready. It's really easy to make sure we're ready. Yeah, it's a little bit harder to think about living it out each and every day. But it starts with that one moment of turning our life over to Him and then just walking that walk that He gives us. But He has already ordained and appointed the day of judgment. He also has appointed, number 6, the resurrected Messiah as judge. You know how we know? Because He's resurrected! Why did we meet last week in kind of a special way and we did some extra special services? Because it was Resurrection Day! Amen? Jesus rose from the dead! He said, I'm coming back to judge. I've been given the authority to judge. He said in so many different ways, and then He proved it! Because on the third day, He rose from the dead. Yes, He went to the cross. Yes, He died on that cross. But you see this cross in the front of this pulpit? You notice it's empty? That's because Jesus ain't on the cross anymore. Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? He is victorious. He is alive. And because He's appointed that day, He's appointed the one whom He's ordained, He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. The resurrection is such a wonderful reassurance. So, God's appointed all those different things, and He's appointed that every last person in this room repent and be His child. That's His desire. There's not one person in this room, I can say this clearly from the Scripture. He desires everyone to be saved. And the question is, will you receive Him as He is? You see, He's revealed to us. He's the one calling the shots. He's the one who puts everybody where they're at. He brought you here this morning. He's the one that's revealed to you in different ways about who He is in the resurrection. Now the question is, are you going to believe Him and are you going to receive Him? Because that's where it falls down to. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received Him. What does it mean to receive Christ? It means that you agree to go His way. That you call on Him for salvation, and the Holy Spirit comes and fills you and lives in you. That's what it means to receive Christ. But as many as received Him, and you can't change Him to be what you want Him to be. Do I get an amen on that one? Receiving is you receive who He is, okay? Not what you want Him to be. If you're receiving a Christ that you've made up in your own mind, and He is what you can control Him, ain't the same thing. We don't control Jesus. Can I get an amen to that? Yes, Jesus needs to be controlling us. You see, the word filled means controlled by. Okay? He wants you to be filled with the Spirit. So as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in His name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God appoints it. God wants you to be His child. Have you believed and received Him? I pray you have. If you haven't, and God's pricking your heart today, then move. Do it. Repentance means to turn away from. It doesn't mean you become perfect instantly. It means He'll work with you on it. But you need to turn from the direction you're heading in. Whatever it is that you feel like is holding you back from making that decision for Christ, put it on the altar today and say, Lord, I'm giving it to You. I want to turn away from that and I want to turn to Jesus today. And I can tell you, Jesus will receive you. He promised. He said, of all that the Father has given Me, I'll lose not one. And to all who come to Me, I will not turn one away. Man, now that's a promise. 100% guarantee. And I can give you 100% guarantee because it all hinges on the resurrection and the tomb is empty, folks. So let's pray. Dear God, as we have heard the Word, we understand that you are sovereign. You are the one who has appointed us to be here today. You have appointed us to have breath. You have appointed us to have life. And you want us to live that life for you and then be in heaven forever with you. That's your desire. Now will we receive? Receive your desire. Receive your gift of everlasting life. Receive the gift of having the Holy Spirit living in us. Oh Lord, if we neglect such a gift, there's nothing else out there to satisfy our souls and to save us. Lord, let no one refuse you today. Yes, there are some conditions to walking with you. We got to give up our life. Give it up and give it to you. But here's what I found. You want to give it back to me fixed. My life was so broken before I came to know Jesus. I didn't think you could fix it, Lord. You're still working on me today, but oh Lord, you have blessed me in such ways that I could never imagine. I couldn't even see it. I was groping in darkness and couldn't see it. Lord, if there's anybody here groping, looking for you today, I want them to know Jesus is the way. In Jesus' name, amen.